Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for the life that you've given us. You said that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly, Lord. We know that it's because of you that we live and we move and we have our being. So we're so grateful and so thankful, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness. So we say thank you, Lord. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Lord, help us to walk in the light, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a fallen world, through a dark, dying, decaying world. God, we need your help more than ever, Lord, as we see the deception and so many things going on, Lord, that are not godly. We see them taking place daily. So, God, we need your word so we know what to do, what to say, how to live, how to speak, what to say, what not to say, where to go, where not to go. So thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Bless your word. Let it jump off the page and jump right into our hearts so we can be doers of the word and not hearers only. We thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have been talking about being spirit-filled and spirit-sealed since the beginning of the year. Went through several examples of being spirit-filled and spirit-sealed. And so as we continue on our journey to be spirit-filled and spirit-sealed, we're back in Ephesians. And when we finish Ephesians, we'll go back into Esther chapter 8 because we want to finish that story of Mordecai as he received the king's ring and the king's seal to do as he pleased. Jesus also told us to pray in his name according to his will, and he would do it. So here we are. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Start with a quick review, then we'll jump right into the word, right into today's lesson. 1:13, in whom you also trusted, make sure you underline trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe. So you trusted, you heard the truth. It was the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, which talked about your salvation, how you could be saved and rescued from this dark, dying, decaying world. And then after that, you believed. And once you believed, once you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with God's promise. Sealed, it means it's a mark. It's a smear. So after we accepted Christ, God put a mark on us so he would recognize us as his. He sealed us. God sealed the deal, so to speak. And then verse 14, it says, which is the down payment of our inheritance. Underline inheritance today. So we have an inheritance with God. As we were teaching in our young women and men's class this morning, we were talking about an inheritance and how the world makes you think that if you can't have any fun by being a Christian. So what do? You go to church, you read the Bible, and I said, I have to do other things to have fun. And I was asking the young ladies, what would the world offer to make you forfeit your inheritance that God has for you? If you knew that your rich uncle left you some money and all you had to do was finish high school or go to college, would you do it or would you forfeit that inheritance by saying, you know what? I don't need that. I'm going to do my own thing. Remember, God never requires us to do anything without giving us something that's much better. So we have a down payment, which solidifies our inheritance until the day of redemption, until God comes back for the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. So we've been sealed. Down payment's been made. We have an inheritance in the kingdom of God waiting for us until God comes back for us. So then we went to, let's go to Ephesians 4:30. And the word tells us, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you, there's the word again, sealed until the day of redemption. So we can stress the Holy Spirit out. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And Paul is saying, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Then he gives us a how to in 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We talked about that sweet-smelling aroma last week. We talked about the offerings that they had to make in the book of Exodus, chapter 29. They had to have the burnt offering, the sin offering, the wave offering, the drink offering, the meat offering. Christ said, I came, I wiped all that out once and for all. Now, when we accept Christ, we are a sweet smelling aroma unto God. But then in verse 3, it shifts. And then God talks about holiness. So as we're saved, as we're marked, God said, I want you to live right. And he does a comparison of what to do and what not to do. And remember, he's not saying this as a list of do's and don'ts. He's saying that he wants us to participate in the inheritance that he has for us. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becoming saints. Remember, we're saints. We're not angels. When we accepted Christ, we became saints. We're sanctified by his blood, which makes us saints, which makes us righteous through him. We're saints. We're not angels. Remember, I say we are sanctified saints, and we shouldn't live like recycled sinners. Make a note of that. It's a difference, and this is what God is saying. And so, when I broke down the word fornication, well, we know that's sexual sin, that's sex outside of marriage, but it also included adultery, which is when you're married and you're sleeping with someone else. But then it also, that word fornication comes from the Greek word porneia, I guess where we get obviously where we get the word porno from. And it also meant idolatry, things that you fantasize about, that you get into, that you make higher than God. In addition, it did also list homosexuality, bestiality, incest as well. That's the word porneia covered all those. It's like, oh my gosh, Lord, that's a hard word. Whew. But then he said, then that word porneia means idolatry. So definitely we shouldn't be going to strip clubs and it was for the men, and that place for the ladies that they used to go to. What was it, Chip? I just want you to tell on yourself this morning. I got you. I knew the name of it. I knew you'd tell on yourself. Chippendales and whatever gentleman's club, and you're sitting there and you're fantasizing about somebody. Guys, that's idolatry. It's cut that out. No, that's not what you should be doing. And then, you know, and when it shifted to idolatry, I thought about the men and how we'll sit and we'll watch a football game and we'll get so into it and our team becomes our God. God said, oh, that's porneia. That's idolatry. And then, ladies, you'll watch those soap operas and I'm dating myself, but you'd be into Luke and Laura and you can't miss it. And you got to see it. And what's going to happen? I wish my life was like. And the guy said, no, that's your idolatry. You're putting that way too high. Nobody can call you. Nobody can come by. You know, that's my hour. Well, I got to see Luke and Laura. I got to put them up there to see what happens. He said, did you get an hour into the word, or you get an hour into prayer? No, but I saw Luke and Laura. I saw 3 hours of the game. And you couldn't give God 10 minutes in the morning. He said that's idolatry. So he talked about holiness. We're sealed, we're filled, but he said, you got to get this thing right. Look at John 3:3. Because you say, God, I can't do it, but in the book of Philippians, it says we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. And then you have certain people that say, well, I can't do anything different because I was born like this. But in John 3:3, it says you can be born again if you choose to. Think about this, the audacity of me to say that I was born a certain way. That of out of all the people that were made, even Adam and Eve, God gave them a choice saying, look, you can eat whatever you want to, but don't touch that tree. And so these days I'm being born where I say I have no choice. God's given everybody else free will except for me. I don't even have a choice. Are you kidding me? The audacity to say you don't have a choice in what you do. We all do. That's why Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will choose to serve the Lord. Choose you this day. You have a choice who you are going to serve. And regardless, we all were born because we're all ex-somethings. We all were born with something. Where's Ivy at? Is Ivy in today? Ivy's not around? I didn't think my mic was on. We all are ex-somethings. Come on now. We all needed to be born again. I don't care what your hang-up or your issue is. We need to be born again. John 3:3. Jesus said in the Jewish culture where it's repeated, verily, verily, he said, most assuredly, most assuredly, listen, listen. It means you really need to listen up when it's repeated twice. When the word is repeated twice in the Jewish culture, it's saying you better listen, listen, listen. Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And born, the word again in the Greek means from above. If you're not born from above, because when we're first born, we're born from below. And then Jesus is saying, you must be born from above if you're going to see the kingdom of God. Oh, my God. I wish the Pope would have been preaching some of this word. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't know what has been on behind closed doors, so I can't say much. I wasn't there. But when you talk about Jesus Christ, the resurrection, being rescued, dying for your sins at least once. God, help our leaders. What are we doing? What are they doing? What we think about? You're supposed to be a representative of Jesus Christ, and you don't mention the resurrection or the blood cleansing sins being rescued once. Anyway, I'm not going to do a monologue or a dialogue, whatever you call that thing, or a commentary. I'm not going to do that right now. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I said unto you, except a man be born again, he should not see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And all the women said, are you out of your mind? All the mothers said that, amen. Jesus answered, said, listen, listen. I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter. That's a hard word. If you're not born again, you're not entering into the kingdom of God. You have a choice. Do you want your inheritance in the kingdom of God? Or are you cool? I don't need it. I'm cool like I am. That's your choice. Verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We're talking about the Spirit that you are sealed with. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. You think you could enter like you are now? What atonement do you have for your sin? Like I said, when you talk to somebody and say, well, I don't believe in God, I'm spiritual, I'm this, I'm that. Just ask, okay, so let me ask, so what atonement do you have for your sin? Or do you commit sin? And then wait for the answer. Because they tell you they don't commit sin, you get away from them. You run as fast as you can. That's a dangerous person. We all need to have some type of atonement for our sin. What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We all need atonement. We need the blood. We need to be born again. It's a hard word. But family, we have to stick to the basics in this world that is just going upside down. Let's go to Verse 12. Skip down to verse 12. John 3 and 12. I have told you earthly things and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Jesus said, you can't even handle the stuff I'm talking about here on earth. You want to go deep, but you can't go deep with me. I'm telling you earthly stuff you don't get. You want me to start talking about what's happening in the heavens? Verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15, put a star by this, but whatever you do, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not that you can't do this, you can't do that, because that doesn't save us. We could never be good enough. We could never work there, work our way to heaven. But you got to believe, you got to commit, you have to accept, you have to be born again so you can have eternal life. And then here's one of the most famous scriptures, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17 is the one I love. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world might be rescued. So Jesus didn't come to condemn. And that's why as Christians, we don't go out and condemn and judge, but we just have to tell the truth. I'm with love, but remember, if you're just all love and no holiness, then that's just sin wrapped up in lust. That's all it is. Love without the holiness never works. It never works. Not in God's kingdom. And God didn't send it. He could have condemned us without sending Christ. He didn't need to send Christ to condemn us. We're already condemned. But he sent his son to save us. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Somebody say amen, because their deeds were evil. You know, nobody want to hear all that stuff, man. You messing up my high. Get on away from me with all that Jesus stuff, man. I got plans later. I don't want to hear that stuff. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved, which means be exposed. Light always exposes darkness. That's why your friends don't want to see you all the time. That's why some people don't call you no more. That's why they don't want to hang around you, because your light exposes their darkness, because you're not comfortable in darkness anymore. It's nothing wrong with you. It's just that your light is shining. That's all it is. You all know how when we had those little critters in the house and you come in the kitchen and you cut on that light, they scatter. It'd be scary. You come in. Oh, man. Whoa, man. We got to do something about that. Scare me to death. And trust me, if you still in bed, they still running around. The darkness is still happening. It needs the light to expose it. Your friends and our family and everybody, they still out doing their thing, and light still needs to expose it in love. Verse 21, but he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. So those of us, when we came into the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ, then we walked into the light because we wanted our deeds to be exposed. God, if there's anything that's in me that's not like you, remove it. I'm not running from you, Lord. I'm running to you. Amen. It's a tough seat to sit in. That's a tough mirror to look at. That you go to that mirror and you say, God, if there's anything that's in me, whether it's pride, whether it's selfishness, whatever it is, whatever sin it is, God, I want to walk in your light. I want to get in your word. So whatever it is, you expose it so that my works can be right. Not to be saved, but because I want to live as a light and not darkness. And there's no way around it. I mean, you can't be like light gray or dark gray or eggshell white. You can't. You're either light or dark. You can't be like mixed colors and stuff like that. Not in the kingdom. God said, I wish that you were either hot or cold. Otherwise, just I don't Nobody likes that. We saw the who saw the movie War Room, and when she brought her that cup of coffee that was lukewarm. She said, "Well, I don't like that." Well, okay. Oh, she said, "Okay, I get it," because she said her prayer life was neither hot or cold, but she likes her coffee hot. Nobody likes lukewarm coffee. Nobody likes lukewarm bath water. I'm gonna go run your bath water. What is this? Either give me a cold tub or a hot tub. I don't want lukewarm. Amen. Can't stay on the fence. All right, let's go back to Ephesians because we're just getting started. Ephesians, back to Ephesians 5. Amen. All right, so verse 3. You do have a choice. You can be born again and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We're called to be light. We're sealed. But he's saying, this is how you stress out the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit getting involved in all this foolishness. The youngsters were saying in the class this morning, Brother Chris highlighted, why would you want to be involved in that kind of stuff anyway? What stuff? Okay. Verse 3, fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, which just means being greedy. Let it not be once named among you. Wow. So I should never do it. As you becoming saints. Verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolishness, foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient. So stop all the complaining and all this other stuff. He said, but rather give thanks. So he's showing us how not to stress out the Holy Spirit, how to walk, how to live this thing. Don't wake up in a bad mood. Don't go to bed in a bad mood. Don't spend your waking hours in a bad mood, but rather give thanks. Give thanks for what? For all that God has done for you and I. Yes. Yes. Put life in perspective. Give thanks. In the midst of everything that we go through, we can still give thanks. All right, here we go. Verse 5. For you know this. For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any, here's that word again, inheritance. Underline inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and God. So it's and we know it's talking about those that practice those things, that this is just my lifestyle. This is who I am. I ain't changing for nobody. It's not talking about those of us that are filled and sealed and we're struggling and we're trying to pull our life together and we're confessing that sin and asking God to forgive us. And this is what it's not saying, that you have to work your way to heaven, because nobody could get there, because through grace are we saved by faith. It's the gift of God, not of works. It's the grace of God that saves us through faith. So it's not saying you have to live a certain way. We're not talking being legalistic. Some churches you grow up, you can't wear makeup, you can't wear a watch, you can't do all that. It's not saying that. It's saying that you need to be striving to live for God each and every day. If you're truly filled and sealed and you have help through the Holy Spirit, and you need to be light and you need to be salt, because these days it's all mixed up. It's sugar and darkness. And they make you think you have the problem. But this is the word. For this you know, verse 5, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance. You're going to mess up your inheritance. And if you don't care what God has for you in the kingdom, then do your own thing. And some people don't. But look at what God is saying. God is saying, don't do this because you don't want to do this. He's saying, don't do this because of your inheritance. It was a news article about a rich businessman who passed away. He had two daughters. This was recently in the news, like a couple of months ago. He left them both a certain millions of dollars, but they can't get it until they finish college. And they said, and he said, you shouldn't have any kids. He could put some kind of some stipulations there. You should not have any kids before you finish college, and some other stuff. He said it was, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you got to control somebody's life from the grave? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to control your life even when I'm dead. Or I just don't want you to self-destruct. So before you get all this money, at least finish college. And I mean, how You got a couple of $1 million waiting for you. You finished college. Would you do it? Maybe, even if it took me 10 years. I'ma just take my time, but I'ma get it. I'm not going to mess up my inheritance. But here's God saying, you got inheritance in the kingdom of God. Don't mess that up. What's more important? We know we'd be, I'd be in school. I'd take, how many units can you take? Like, how many? I'd be taking 18 units. I'd be trying to get finished with school, man. I'm trying to get to my million. I'm taking 21 units this semester, man. Why? Because I got inheritance coming. They don't understand what I got coming. That's why I'm in the library. Man, you're in the library. You don't come out. You don't have no parties. Don't worry about that. Watch when I finish college. Watch what I have. Certain way they're living, so they're trying to get that inheritance as soon as I can. And that's what God is saying. I got this for you. Is the inheritance that God has for you, is it worth you and I living right? That's the question that only you and I can answer. It says, verse 6, let no man deceive you with empty words. Got all this empty stuff. Well, and people will tell you some weird stuff. You know, you got they try and teach our kids about the evolution and the Big Bang theory that something came from nothing. I mean, that doesn't even make sense how something comes from nothing. I've heard it explained like this. Like, you go to the junkyard and you get two junky cars and you throw them together and you get a nice new Mercedes Benz. That's what they're trying to convince you happened with something coming from nothing. Or that we came from monkeys or something like that. It used to be a brother we used to play ball with back in the neighborhood. I was almost convinced that he was. Yeah, he was like, man, you might be that missing link, dude. I don't. That's mean, I know. But if you would have saw him playing ball and how he looked, you'd be like, I don't know. Now, it was one brother in the hood playing ball with his knuckles dragging on the court and stuff. I'm like, oh, man, I was almost convinced. I wasn't saved back then, so I was like, maybe. But here we go. And youth and those of us not so young, verse 6, let no man deceive you with empty words. So I just wrote down a few things. The Big Bang Theory, because they figured that something came from nothing and it was a simple organism that developed. But it's nothing simple about us. And make a note of this, how your nose can remember 50,000 smells. And I get that every time I come from the gym, like, woo. Too many smells going on. Go do something about that. Amen. Your tongue can taste, have over 5,000 bud receptors on your tongue. Over 5,000 just right here. Your nose, 50,000 smells. Your brain has over 1 billion neurons. That doesn't sound like that simple to me. And then the blood vessels and veins in our body in just one body. If they took them all out and connected them from end to end, it's enough to go around the earth 2.5 times. That don't seem that simple to me. That seems like really complex. And all that's going on, I didn't get into the gallons of blood that's pumping through our body. And we just take it for granted. And when people come with these empty words and telling you that two planets crashed and something came from nothing, didn't something cause them to crash? If that was the case, you mean they just randomly and all this just appeared? And atheists are finding out it's taken more faith to believe that than to believe this. Amen. A lot of them are getting saved. It's some things going on. They're saying, don't let these empty words, don't let people just tell you anything. Take a stand. Somebody was trying to tell me at the gym about, you know, all this love and inclusion stuff. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not with that. Mm-mm. No, I don't believe in that. I'm not just going to let people tell me anything about some foolishness. I'm done with that. At times are just too delicate. Make a note, Psalms 139, how God said that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. There's no reason for this human body to die. It was created to live forever until sin entered into the world. It's no reason for it to stop working other than sin living in a fallen state. All right. So verse six, let me read it again. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And it says, be not ye partakers with them. Choose your friends wisely. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life and who you allow to hang out with. And that's why our kids don't understand. We say, no, I don't kind of not going to let you hang out with those friends. I don't think they're, because as parents, that's where we step up. When they get grown, they're out of the house, they hang out who they want to, and they have to make that choice. But as long as they're in our house, we kind of select and say, well, maybe, and help them select. Amen? But here's verse 8, and it wraps up our entire existence in one verse. Rarely does a verse do that, but this one does. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It covers our past, our present, and our future. It talks about what we were sometime, once. Everybody say amen. Amen. You were once darkness. So that's your past, but it talks about your present, but now you are light in the Lord. It's your present, and it talks about your future. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now we get into the fruit of the Spirit, so it gives us the how-to. So you know me, I'm trying to study, I'm trying to stay focused, but it took me to Galatians 5 when it talked about the fruit of the Spirit. So it gives us the how-to. Turn to Galatians 5. And so God's given us the how-to, how to walk by the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the peace, the joy, the goodness, the gentleness, the meekness, the temperance, the self-control. You do have self-control. We do have self-control. You and I, we have self-control through the Holy Spirit, which seals us. Allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you. So I was trying to get to Galatians 5:22, but you know I couldn't just go to 22 because I got short stopped at 5:13. So look at Galatians 5:13. For brother and sister, you have been called unto liberty. That word means freedom. You are free in Christ. So even in Christ, you have freedom. You can do what you want to do. That's why it says, only use not liberty or freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So instead of using your freedom to do your own thing, he's saying use your freedom to love one another. But you have the freedom to do what you want to do. We're called to liberty. That's why when you come to church, it should be free. You shouldn't feel in bondage. We're not in bondage to anything. And then we choose to serve God. We have that choice to serve God because we're free in Christ. Thank God for that. You allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you. You're not a slave to sin. You're not a slave to your flesh. You're not a slave to things. You have control over that through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're free. Thank God for the freedom. Thank God for the liberty. Christ has liberated us. Who the Son makes free is free indeed. Even in Christ, we have our choice. We do what we want to do. But Paul said, don't use it as an opportunity just because God has set you free to you go and you do whatever you want to do. Don't do that. Then he continues to break it down. He said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now he's talking about how to walk in this holiness, how to walk in the Spirit, that we love and we treat people the way we want to be treated. And see, that's the one that's taken out of context where everybody's included and all this kind of stuff. Well, but see, you can't have the love without the holiness. Because look at verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This has to, even within the liberty, even within the love, there has to be some standards there. All right. Verse 16. This I say, then, walk in the spirit, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He lets you know the battle going on for the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the spirit, you're not under the law. So we all go through that conflict. How to live? Shall I do it? Shall I do it? And you got this one on, you know, the cartoon. You got this one on your shoulder saying, oh, you need to, you know what you need to do, right? You need to cuss her out right now. You need to slap his face right now. You ain't going to let him talk to you like that. No, you do what you want to do. You can't tell him. God is saying, no, you need to calm down and process this whole spiritual warfare that you're in. That's your flesh going against your spirit. Calm down and discern the spiritual warfare you're in the midst of. Because if you're led by the Spirit, verse 18, you're not under the law. But if you don't want to be led by God's Spirit, then you're under the law. And we know that no one can keep the law. And so we got to pick it up next week. It's just getting warmed up. Let us pray quickly. And family, as you just look into your heart, just know that God is just challenging us all. Boy, it is a tough time to be a Christian. It is a tough time to take a stand. Because it's the world and the culture is just so contrary to living right. But God's called us to be salt and light. And family, let's commit to being salt and light until he comes back. Stay in your word. Lord, help us to stay in our word. Help us to continue to fellowship, Lord. Help us to discern. Give us the spirit of discernment, Lord, that we could navigate daily through these frustrations, through these temptations, and through these distractions, Lord. Knowing that our flesh is warring against our spirit and wants us to do things that are contrary to the word of God. But we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We know we're filled and we're sealed with that Holy Spirit. So God, let us live accordingly, Lord. Lord, this world needs some hope. Let us be salt and light, not to condemn, but to let others know that they can be rescued. They can be rescued from all this madness, this roller coaster ride that this world takes you up and down and just kicks you off and leaves you empty. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. Thank you for your word. Now let us commit to living it. And Lord, maybe there's someone here who say, Pastor, I never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, but today I want to get saved. If that's you, elevate your hand. You've never been saved before. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I need to get back on track. Word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's you, elevate your hand. You want to rededicate your life. You're not going to wait to New Year's and make a resolution. You're going to say, Pastor, I'm finishing the year strong. Or maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home and you say, I just need a place where people love God and the word goes forth and from the worship to the word, the presence of God is there. And no games and no tricks and no gimmicks and no drama. It's just we're living this thing. And we love walking together as a family. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're looking for a church home. Lord, how we thank you on today. Lord, you're great and greatly to be praised. How we love you. We bless you, Lord. There's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you to do. We thank you, Lord, that you've come that we might have life and life more abundantly. You've come so we could really live, that we could be free to live for you, that we can choose to serve you as we live free in you. So we thank you for that freedom, Lord. We're not going to use that freedom as an excuse to go and live raggedy. We're going to use that freedom to choose to serve you and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And we bless you for the freedom, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.